Thank you, everyone, for your warm welcome. Sorry I'm sitting down, but just more comfortable because I have arthritic knees. Thank you for keeping us in prayer for safety. We actually live in a gated community, a retirement community, so God has kept us safe. But the girls and the children that we work with, they're not always safe. And even this couple who were part of the church that we're in Worcester, they endured a storm attack where they were saved by angelic protection. The husband was sent to the hospital, he's okay, and the wife, who runs a huge ministry in Avian Park, one of the townships that we work in, she hit on the roof. And of course, they're still traumatized, so it's actually closer than you think. And even our supervisors, they run a farm, so they are vulnerable as well. But so far, God has protected them. So we're going to talk about legacy today, and obviously your little church has already had a big legacy in helping Source of Life Ministries start, and Pastor Carey's work in Malawi, you've already got the ball rolling. But this is just to refresh you, and God always has something more for you individually and as a congregation. So if you have your Bibles, you can either read along with me in Isaiah 6, or I can read it out to you. Isaiah 6, 1-8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Mm-hmm. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Amen. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." How many of us really want a divine encounter like this? I know I do. I once did have one. Sometimes we can have a call like this, and other times our call is more subtle. You may be reading scripture and it seems to jump right into your heart. Or you may have a series of dreams, which is what happened with both Tony and I for South Africa. Many revivals and mission calls start with a special encounter. Not all do, but some do. I've heard of some people who go into missions when they're upset with God. They see a need and they ask God, "Why don't you do something?" But that's exactly what Matthew West says. Listen to the words of the song, "Do Something." "I woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble now, thought, how would we ever get so far down? How's it ever going to turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven and I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold in slavery. The thought disgusted me. So I shook my fist at heaven and said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. I created you."
Amen.
Sometimes this is all it takes for the Holy Spirit to nudge our heart. A song, someone encouraging us in our excitement, or the still small voice of God in our ears. In fact, when we were down in Virginia a few weeks back, there was a lady who came up to me and she said, "I love to pray for missionaries. I love to encourage people." And she was asking me how our mission was going. And then all of a sudden I had a very small word to give her and I said, "You are a missionary right here in Virginia and you are needed at this place." And she started crying, especially when I had said, "You are just as much a missionary as I am." And it was true. So whether you have a big or small encounter, don't ignore it. What is God saying to us in Isaiah 6? He shows us who he is. It's a personal encounter with him, a personal encounter with a personal God. Then he gives Isaiah his assignment, which he shares in chapter 7. But this is what the Father says to us. Who will go for me? This is when we have the opportunity to say along with Isaiah, "Here am I, Lord, send me." The Lord equips and heals you. He invites you on the journey of preparing you. In my case, my preparation took time. My first short-term mission was in Kenya, where I worked with Somali refugees and Kenyans. Kenya was my first African country, and I've loved Africa ever since, in Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, Botswana, and South Africa. I was sent on 9 short missions, and Tony 2. I wanted more, but I had to wait for us to go to missionary school until Tony retired. That's a whole other story. Meanwhile, I met an amazing lady named Heidi Baker, and later her husband, Rowan. They started Iris Ministries. They both ministered with intense love. I was drawn to her. I met her briefly in 2010 at a women's conference in Arizona. One night she spoke on missions, and she called more missionaries to serve the Lord by reaching out to the poor. I went to the altar and said yes. The next morning, I remembered that I worshiped the Lord and sang special songs that I loved. My eyes were closed, I wasn't crying like today, and I was intent on loving Jesus. Then, I sensed the presence of Jesus so strongly that I just had to open my eyes. It was like he was standing right beside me. Heidi Baker stood right beside me. She was smiling at me and she was holding a bouquet of roses. This really happened, it wasn't a dream. She gave me a hug, a kiss, and the roses. And then she was off towards the front of the church. I was shocked. I thought, what's going on here? Heidi's assistant told me that she was led to go right to me. And I wondered for years what this moment actually meant. I wanted to ask Heidi when I saw her at her mission school in Mozambique. But I was a little too shy at the time. But at that moment, I finally clued in that Heidi and I were having a divine appointment. Heidi calls us stopping for the one. And it isn't always just stopping for someone who lives on the streets or someone who's obviously in need. Sometimes the needs are hidden and Holy Spirit knows. So you could be stopping for the one with your family member. You just never know, but Holy Spirit does. She was being led to the right people to bless at just the right time. And in that moment, I was the one being blessed. It was like Jesus wanted me to know what it's like to receive his love this way, especially since Tony and I have stopped for the one as a lifestyle. Tony is especially good at this. This means we stop for the one all the time, wherever we are. This is the best and easiest way to do missions with whatever you have on hand. It could be some food, a cup of tea, or in my case, flowers. Tony has his own mission call story. He took his time, but once he got his own call, he was on step with me. He even ran on ahead and began stopping for the one everywhere. Holy Spirit tugged on his heart and he goes into the local hospice. He befriends and prays for the patients. Tony's known a man named Moses for over a year now. Hope I'm not stealing his thunder here. Moses was hit by a truck and is in a wheelchair. He's always happy to spend time with Tony. One day, Moses asked Tony if he's paid to come visit him, like a paid visitor or a paid pastor, although many pastors aren't paid. Imagine Moses' surprise when Tony says, "No, we're volunteer missionaries. South Africans do not pay us." Our call together began with little ministries here in Ottawa, where we ran the Alpha Course in many places, including the prison. We also did radio shows together on CKCU. But then, Tony had a dream in Mozambique that began the confirmations of our current assignment. In the dream, I had a baby. I remember Tony waking me up and telling me, "A baby is a symbol of God birthing something new, a new ministry, a new home, a new season." Tony couldn't see the baby in his dream. He was distracted. So I prayed and I asked for God to give me the dream. He did this the next day, right during worship. The answer was like a little movie inside my own mind's eye. I saw myself go up to the baby's cradle, and the baby was black at first. Then the baby kept changing color. I had no idea what this meant, but we did feel a pull towards South Africa. Tony continued to have dreams, as did I. We shared these with a couple who later became our supervisors in South Africa. Johan and Marie are familiar with dreams, and Marie has the gift of dream interpretation. Yet it was Johan who laughed when I told him about the baby dream. He said, "Did you know that South Africa has a nickname? We're called the Rainbow Nation. The Rainbow Baby is the Rainbow Nation. You are called here." Mind blown. Since then, we haven't looked back, except to see that we've been prepared for South Africa for a very long time. During our initial outreach 3 years ago, I was given a strong impression of the people that God wanted us to reach out to the most. These were the neglected Cape Malay children of the townships. The townships are like the worst neighborhoods in town. These kids are the fatherless and the poor. They are left alone while their single moms try to make ends meet, or their adult family members work in the vineyards. What does love look like to these kids? Love to these kids looks like time, sandwiches, fruit, cold drinks, and tea. It looks like our huts, time, and Wi-Fi for their phones. Love to the young teens looks like equipping them to run Bible studies for younger children. It also means weekly discipleship so they could be leaders and still be allowed to be kids, to grow in our love and our time with them. Notice I say time many times, because their parents just won't have time to be with them. Missions Legacy is about multiplication. We just can't reach out to those around us by ourselves. We are a growing team together. We tried to run after-school kids that got after-school clubs. They got bigger and bigger. Some kids just came for the food. I can't blame them. But there were days when we had 80 kids. 80 kids can be very loud. They didn't speak English very well. We needed help. Jesus tells us that many laborers are called, but not everyone says yes. Because of this, not many are chosen. To be chosen, all it takes is a yes. That's all it takes. We were then led to another ministry that helped us train up our team leaders. These teams were to lead smaller groups of these kids. The teams became Bible study leaders. They are becoming missionaries in their own community. This is part of our legacy. The kids love it, the teens love it, and we love it. When we were at mission school, Heidi told us of a dream where the mission field was on the ocean, and she had a tiny net. It's one tiny net for the entire big Irish organization. It's just one of many. Then she saw people with more nets, but they weren't connected together. These people were different ministries, churches, and missionaries, but there was room for more, much more. And all the nets were meant to connect together. All of us are needed to pick up an edge of the net. How can we do this? It doesn't have to be hard. Ask God to set up divine appointments where the people are ready for you to share. Even in this politically correct climate, there's always people who are ready to hear your story, or ready for your love or your time. There's just a different strategy about it. It also means you use your skills for God. He'll use everything. Tony teaches science and music. He fixes things. I do bookkeeping and teach art. We sing songs and we love children, and we love to color my drawings. We're making a coloring book, and Tony will share about that later on. I draw during worship, and these drawings are special ways to share worship with troubled kids. When they color them in, they are also worshiping Jesus. I had a little picture from the Holy Spirit 5 years ago that I would teach African children about art. This part of the ministry has grown like a big garden. You can see some of these drawings today if you like. They're right behind us. But here's the big question. What do you feel the Holy Spirit is calling you to? Yet, you may think that you're pouring it yourself, but that's what's amazing. Missions work even better then. God ministers through your own story. You have overcome, and when you reach out, He stretches your ability. He gives you so much grace. You can do things you never would have imagined, and you feel joy as you're doing it. Your trust in God grows, since His kindness and faithfulness are always, always there. And if you're weak or sick, God helps you with that too. People see the peace that you have in hard times, and they want that too. So don't be surprised when we ask the reason why you have such peace or love. It's all about where God has called you. Not all of us are called overseas. Some of us are called right here. Some of us are called for families for a time. Others can go on short-term missions, which is always good. You could even be called to go with Pastor Terry to Malawi and love on the children there, and sure that they love you in the school. And even for long-term missionaries like us, this is a specific assignment. We likely won't be in South Africa for the rest of our lives, although we are willing. But where does God want you? Ask Him. Be still in your heart and seek Him. Holy Spirit will show you. I let you pray over you. Lord Jesus, thank you for these dear people in this church. I thank you, I ask you to open their eyes and ears. Some are called right there with Emma to be your helpers. We need you in this area. Some may be called away for a time. We thank you for your ministry assignments, whether they're here, Philippines, Malawi, South Africa, or wherever you put in our hearts. We thank you for your provision for these as well as our everyday needs. You are our perfect Papa, and you are faithful. Deepen your love in our hearts so that we can walk and grow in it every day. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm interested in marital happiness, so Lorianne would like me just to tell you what's going on back there with some of her drawings. About 2 years ago, she blossomed in her interest. She'd been an artist most of her life, but she started becoming much more productive in her art, and she started drawing sometimes from images from the Holy Spirit. She would sit in the church and she'd get an idea and produce things like this. Eyes and Wings. There's a song by that name somewhere. This one is called Bread of Life, Honey of Mercy, and so on. They're all very poignant. And this one was quite admired, so we made a whole bunch of copies of this one. This is Jesus Makes All Things New. And now she's done some other drawings, which are not yet covered. Some of them are, because the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, before you color them, do them like that. Can you see what's going on here? And now, in some of the kids' class where we teach, these go down very, very well. Wild children are tamed when they're invited to color these pictures. It's partly to do with the subject matter, but they just love coloring. We haven't yet found a bunch of children that didn't love to color these pictures. The interesting thing about this one is that all the children shown there are real children. They're children that can recognize themselves in this picture. So, talking about legacy, for a 7-year-old to see themselves in piece of art like this is very special. It blows them away. So what we've been doing recently is trying to make these things more accessible. They're up on the internet, you can find them, you can get them, or we've actually produced a version on memory sticks. There are all these drawings on the memory stick, but also 57 of her devotional talks on ways to grow in God, which have all been broadcast on our internet radio station from South Africa. So these are things that we'd like to share with people. Maybe someone in this room might like to talk more about that or hear more about that. I want to now do something slightly different.
Everybody know?
Everybody know what this is?
GPS.
Everybody know who owns this GPS? Your pastor. When we came from South Africa, we did not bring our South African GPS with us because we would have had to put all of American maps on it. But we happened to know that he had a GPS and we thought he might lend it to us. Isn't that an incredible thing to do in friendship? Mm-hmm. I don't think he was going on any trips specifically. This thing has taken us to Williamsburg, Virginia, lots of places in this area, Calhoun, out on Mississippi Lake, they've taken us to Toronto and various other places. So a GPS is an interesting thing from a spiritual point of view. As you're driving along and you indicate to this thing where you're trying to go, it guides you, it takes you there. And I sometimes think when I'm driving along, that's a little bit like the Holy Spirit. It's an analog of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and this thing does speak to us. It has a lovely British accent, I like that. and the car is a yellow car, I like yellow cars. And it says, turn left, turn right. And I sometimes think that really is the way the Holy Spirit keeps us on track. And I receive messages from the Holy Spirit, they just suddenly pop into my mind. Something I wasn't thinking of before, and now I'm thinking of it. And it's usually very relevant to what I'm generally trying to achieve. It is also possible, by the way, to forget the Holy Spirit altogether, put him away on one side, say, forget that, and decide what you're going to do. Say you want to be a missionary somewhere. And you say, I think I'd like to go and be a missionary in Timbuktu. And then you buy the tickets and you go there, and then you start praying to God to give you help in your mission. Now, it may not be the place that he wanted you to go. So the idea of us as humans making our decisions about what we want and then asking God to help us doesn't work as well as listening for the word of the Holy Spirit and then trying to follow on His plan.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened to us. That's why we went to South Africa. And if you keep your ears open and your eyes open, you'll discern this sort of thing happening all the time. Sometimes when we were driving around recently, this stopped working. It lost contact with the satellites.
Yeah.
You ever had that happen?
Yeah.
You have to have three or more satellites to be able to triangulate and tell you where you are.
Yeah.
If we have two satellites, suddenly it looks like you're driving in a field. And this actually happened once or twice when we really needed to know where we were going. This is a very old GPS. They work better these days. That's a little bit like, why aren't I hearing from God? Is He still there? Is He still speaking to me? Well, I'll tell you something. Those satellites are still up there. Nobody took them out of orbit. They are still there. They're beaming down. The Holy Spirit is there forever. He's been there forever. He is still talking. You may have a little blockage, you may be on the wrong frequency, you may not be tuning in. And then again, it's what we try and learn in ministry. Try and be more often tuned in to His Spirit. Well, so I wanted to give you a couple of examples of things that I learned that I didn't really know before. Which commandment do you think is perhaps the most important commandment for children of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12? To learn that they absolutely don't know all the time. Anyone like to guess? I've got the commandment sheet over there.
Mm.
found this on the internet. It's called The Ten Commandments for Kids. They're very brief, so I'll just read it. Just to remind you what the commandments are. Have no other gods but God. Do not worship statues. Be careful with God's name. Keep the Sabbath day special. Don't let you do that. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Keep your marriage promises. Do not steal. Do not lie. And the one I want to bring more to your attention is do not covet. When we go into a township, by the way, Ritchie Street area is a little bit like the township that we work in. It has some characteristics in the same. The same we like to encourage the children. They're all hungry all the time. I may take, Laurianne mentioned that we sometimes have 60 or 70 children, and we were trying to minister to them against the noise that they were making. Now, we don't know how many are going to turn up. If we brought 50 apples and there were 60 children, you have a problem. You give out the first 50, but we then learned, this may sound cruel, don't even tell them that there's another 10 apples. Because if you start giving one more and they figure out that there aren't another 50 apples, there's a riot. People will scramble and push and shout and scream at the tops of their voices because they want to be the one that gets the extra apple. They know not whose bone is going to get them. Life for children in that environment is one of always wanting what other people have. And some of them are taught that if you don't have it, take it. So taking things that you don't have is not unusual for children. And what I try and teach, if I ever have the chance with children, is if something nice happens to one of your friends, be happy. If something nice happens to somebody else, particularly one of your friends, even your sister or brother, be happy about it. Do you have any idea how difficult that is for most people? What's your feeling if somebody wins the Lotto 49 or whatever it's called, and they're next door neighbors? What's your immediate feeling? We were driving in Virginia a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and the traffic was terrible. And we've driven that route many times, all around Baltimore and Washington. And I suddenly realized what was happening. The unemployment in America is at its lowest level for 40 years. All those people are buying cars and driving on our roads and making it more difficult for us. I had this terribly simple thought for a moment. How is this possible? Why should these people be allowed to drive cars? What a terrible thing to think. That was coveting. I'm somebody trying to stop people getting something like that. Mm-hmm. It's a horrible thought. Thought I'd just share with you, we're all sinners. We should be so happy when other people can receive something good. So that's just one commandment. And something else, a couple of other things briefly. We have a little boy in our school, his name's Seth. Charming little guy, quite intelligent. He's in this school because they wouldn't take him in other schools, but they just didn't understand some of his personality. And one day I heard Seth saying to one of the other children, I wish I'd never been born. So I said to Seth, what do you mean, Seth? Why did you say something to me? He said, but I'm so boring. Now, where does a five-year-old get the idea that he's boring? Now, I'm speaking to any of you who are parents. If you say to your child, you're boring me, or I wish you'd never been born, that will stay with them for the rest of their lives. That is a curse. Mm-hmm. And many of the children we're working with have been cursed, often by their parents. What we try and do with the children is bless them. Encourage them, show them that people love them, and we certainly love them, but get away from that society of cursing. One of the first photographs I took when we arrived was of a girl with T-shirt, and on the T-shirt it said, "Who actually cares? Who actually cares?" Now many of the children with T-shirts, they just get them from a dump where T-shirts deliver to people. I wear an IBM T-shirt on top. But that T-shirt was absolutely how that girl felt. Who actually cares? And that is why we are there. Because they don't feel that anyone actually cares. They're there for two reasons. We want to show them that even if nobody else cares, Jesus cares about them. And we want them to know that we care about them. And that's coming from Jesus through us to them. Okay, thank you for your attention. Maureen and I are blessed to come here. We've been here once before. Actually, played in the band. I was going to sing a song, but all the songs I do now are for children. And you are all clearly adults, so I think we'll pass on the song. Thank you.
We all were children at one time. Okay.
You want me to sing the children's song again?
Yeah. Yeah.
We have time. We have plenty of time.
All right.
I want to give this to you.
Let's see if I can make this guitar work.
I asked permission from the owner.
Everyone has a child sleeping in it.
I joined in a ministry that has been that runs Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays every night in the middle of a really bad, dangerous area, 50 or 60 children. And the leader of that ministry is a man called Pastor Fuller. He is a Nigerian missionary. We didn't even know that Nigeria sent our missionaries. They sent out lots of missionaries. And Fuller is an angel. He has an extraordinary ministry. And one of the first things that happened in this ministry is he has his boombox and he starts playing songs. And the children love the songs. They're always dancing with the children we're working with, possibly throughout Africa. You play the first bar of a song and they immediately get up and dance. It's wonderful. Anyway, I needed to know what these songs were that they love so much. So I made a recording on the phone. We played it to Shazam, which is a great app. And Shazam told us that this was Willie and the Benny's band. He is a South African education Christian man with a wonderful musical sense. And he spent his time going around schools, hundreds and hundreds of schools, playing his songs. We have them now on DVDs. And all the children know these songs. So I'll play you a song that all of them know. Oh, somebody slim was wearing this guitar. I'm using my Panera member card as a pick. I don't have a pick. I like the way you smile. I like the way you smile. I like the way. I like the way. I like the way you smile. I like the way you. What's the next thing? Yeah. I like the way you jump. I like the way you jump. I like the way. I like the way. I like the way you jump. I like the way you love. I like the way you love. I like the way, I like the way, I like the way you love. I like the way you praise the Lord. I like the way you praise the Lord. I like the way, I like the way, I like the way you praise the Lord. I like the way you smile. I like the way you smile. I like the way, I like the way, I like the way you smile. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's the most powerful tool you can give, a smile. Thank you, everybody. I like the way you smile.
Thank God for how he is working through this couple in South Africa. And now that we know them, we can be praying for them and supporting them in the work there. And they're on Facebook, so some of you can become their Facebook friends. So if you want to connect with them, look up Lorianne Couple and Tony Couple, COPPLE, on Facebook and send them a friend request. And you can be connected directly with what God is doing in the next year and a half in South Africa and beyond. Because as we serve God, some doors close, but other doors open.
Yes.
We never stop serving God. And it's like doors or pages being turned in our life. We just have to be open to when a page is ready to be turned. Sometimes we like staying on a page, and God's ready to turn the page, but we're comfortable with the page we're on. But sometimes ministries happen for a